we'll start. I just want to talk about life a little bit. When we think about life, there's sort of two sides of the ledger in life. Life has two sides of the ledger. Did you know that? When you have a business, you have profit and loss, you have debits and you have credits. Amen. You have wins and losses if you're a sports team, right? And in life, you have two sides of the coin. And I want you to just think about your own life. You have things that you're happy about. You got some things you're happy about? It ain't all bad. However bad it might be, it ain't all bad. There's some things that you're happy about. In life, there's some things that are going your way, right? There's some things that have gone your way. There's some things that are going your way. Amen? And I bet in your life you have some things that are actually enabling you to get to a better place. There's some stuff in your life that's supportive, that's actually participated in helping you to make progress. This is the way life is divided up. Do you like that side of the ledger?
Yes.
There are things you're happy about, things that make you happy, right? Things that help you make progress, things that are working out, things that are going your way, some things going your way. Some things going your way. Mm-hmm. There's some things you're happy about. But there's the other side of the ledger. I bet there's some things you're not so happy about. I bet. Every single one of us has some stuff that we're not happy about. Some things that are not going your way. Some things not going your way. Some things not going your way. Some things not going your way. Are there some things in your life that seem to be hindering your progress? Am I talking to anybody? Is there anybody here that's not got stuff on both sides? I'm just talking about life now. I'm talking to live people. So everybody should have a testimony in here. Everybody, this is not just for somebody else. This is for us. All right. We have life and there's stuff on both sides of the ledger. But as Christians, while we do have stuff on both sides of the ledger, because everybody walking around on earth has stuff on both sides of the ledger. Even people, the animals that aren't human, they have stuff on both sides of the ledger. The animal, the lion don't get everyone that he chases after. He has good days and bad days too. But as Christians, we have something in addition that makes it special for us. We have John 3:16. What does it say? Yes, that he gave his only begotten son, the only one, so that whosoever should believe in him will not perish, which is what would happen, but instead have what? Everlasting life. Now, while we're dealing with both sides of that ledger, that gets to be our testimony. Now, is that a good news?
Amen.
That's some good news. Amen. That he gave his only son. His only son. I have two sons. I wouldn't give one of them away. Hallelujah. I wouldn't give one of them away. The only one? That's the testimony that we have. That's some good stuff, but it doesn't stop there. If we go over to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19, and you can go there if you like, but you don't have to. But I'll tell you what it says. It says, now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners. Did you know that we were strangers and foreigners when it came to God and his people? No more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens and of the household of God. So not only are we going to, you know, have it made in the shade and the by and by, but we get to be intimate and personal with God. When he says, I go away to prepare a place for you, remember, we talk about mansions in the sky. That's not the right translation. He's building us a mansion. We're going to live in it with us. He is getting us a room ready because he wants to be our father. Think about this. He wouldn't, mansion in the sky, I'm poor now, but I'm going to be rich in heaven. If that's the only thing that keeps your engine chugging, and you don't get excited about living forever with your God. That's similar to I ain't paying nobody to play when they think about the club. we have it made. You put those two things together, would you agree that according to the Bible, we got it pretty good? Amen. We're pretty set. Amen. Pretty set. We get to have an intimate and real and personal relationship with the creator of the universe, and he gonna be with us forever. And he gave his only, I said only, son. Brother Jason is getting attached to his little one, even though they're not here yet. And I don't care whether it's a son or a daughter, you know what my bias is on the subject. I bet already he wouldn't want to give that child up for anything. Already, not even here. But he talks to it. Okay, I'll give you that. Every day, this is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Every day. Now, you're going to have that kind of bond. And then the baby comes out, and somebody's going to ask you to give up that baby's life for somebody else that who ain't even going to appreciate it? We got it made. I hope you agree with me. So despite having it made, do you agree we have it set? We set. We're set up pretty nice.
Amen. Amen.
Despite that, we are often unhappy. We are often discontented. Anybody know have that testimony? We got it made, right? And yet we find us as Christians unhappy, discontented, right? Frustrated. Anybody been frustrated any time recently? Yet we got it made. Woo. Does that make any sense? Anybody been hungry or angry or hangry? Anybody been pessimistic? Oh, Eeyore, nothing good ever happens to me. Anybody been Eeyore-ish? And yet we just documented with the word that we got it made in the shade. But as a Christian, how am I going to find God? Let me find a Christian first. Oh, nothing good ever happens to me. That's a Jesus-filled Christian thinking, talking, and testifying to that. How are you going to be pessimistic and you happen to be one of those who was predestined? How can you have a poor outlook? Here's what I want to tell you. There's a song that says, we're spiritual beings living a natural experience. That is an answer, or the answer, to the question of why is it we can be spirit-filled, Jesus-filled, and still be Eeyore-ish, still be angry, and still be hangry, and still be pessimistic, and still be frustrated, despite having it made in the shade. Because guess what? You are a spiritual being, but you're not all spiritual. You're still wrapped up in a very natural experience. And so that's why you can't live out the testimony like you really, 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 really ought to do so. Amen?
Amen.
So now that we know in this natural world, do you live in a natural world or just a spiritual world? Natural, real natural, huh? We have to realize that in this life, Pastor Trina, in this natural experience that we have, stuff is going to happen. Can I just tell you that? Stuff is going to happen. I want you to pay attention to that now. Stuff, all kinds of stuff, financial stuff, relationship stuff, job stuff, life and death stuff is going to happen because we down here having this natural experience. So guess what? be best off if you expect stuff to happen. Because it's going to. So I'll just tell you, neighbor, stuff is going to happen. Neighbor, you may as well expect it. Neighbor, you'll be better off if you know that it's coming. Hallelujah. Expect stuff to happen. Amen?
Amen.
Because if you expect it, you can walk through it and you can work through it. If you expect stuff to happen. Now, if you're not expecting it, you all thrown off, messed up, off the rails, starting to stress eat, whatever it is you do, get a rash, scratch, want to drink. Some Christians do want drinks. Whatever it is that you do, because you got knocked off your game because you expected one thing, you thought stuff wasn't going to happen. Expect it to happen. So now, we can go to our text, but that is a backdrop. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Yes, Romans chapter 8, verse 26. If you don't go there fast, God will take me there, Pastor Trina. You'll learn that lesson quick enough. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes, when I move, you move just like that. Yes, you got to do it. You got to get on the train. Hallelujah. Romans 8 and 26. Now that we know that we have it made in the shade, we know that we're going to live forever. We know that he gave his son for us. We know that we're part of his family. We have an intimate relationship with him. Woo. Mm-mm-mm. Now we can look at this verse 26. Let's read it together. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Finish it for me.
But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered.
So what we're talking about here is we live in life, and we all have a prayer life, right? Christians and all that sort of stuff. We all spiritual, and yet living this natural experience. So with a natural experience, you end up needing help as spiritual beings. So you need the Holy Spirit to help you, because your prayer life and your thought life will be hindered by this natural experience. Amen?
Amen.
Wouldn't it be great if we were just spiritual? Just imagine how much better off you would be if your spiritual person dominated more. Think about that last decision you were making, and you were vacillating. What if the spiritual person won out? Maybe the spiritual person did win out for you. You need to know how big a victory that is. We are spiritual people living this natural experience, and it will hinder and can hinder your prayer life and your thought life and your relationship with God. Just imagine if the spiritual person dominated more. We'll go on to verse 27. Read it for me. Mm-hmm.
Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God.
Okay, so we can struggle even in our prayer life because of this natural experience that we're in. Even though we're connected and intimate with God, we can struggle. Even though we have it made in the shade, we can be pessimistic. We can be ER-ish. We can be frustrated. We can be sad when we have every reason to be happy. All because of this natural experience that we all wrapped up in. And so we have the Spirit that can make intercession for us when we're not smart enough, when we're not grateful enough, when we don't have it made enough in our minds. The Holy Spirit helps us, but look at how it helps us. When the Holy Spirit helps you, what does it say at the end of that verse?
According to what?
According to what? According to what? According to what? So you can't get down on your knees. You can't get into your prayer closet and come out messed up unless you miss this stop on the train. So what does the Spirit do when it helps you? It doesn't say, you know what, baby, I want what you want. We got this. Now, that's what we'd like. So the Spirit makes intercession and tells you, you know, you're praying for all this stuff. And what you should be saying is, nevertheless, what? Oh, you can make prayer and supplication to God, right? He wants you to tell him what you want. He wants you to tell him what you need. He wants you to tell him where you hurt. He wants you to tell him what you're grateful for and all that stuff, right? But in the end, what the Spirit does is it leads you to where you really ought to be. And so you ain't going there because you're asking for what you want. You're complaining about what you don't have. And he comes in and intercedes because we're not smart enough. We're not good enough. We're not committed enough. And he intercedes. And so what God, nevertheless, God, what do we want? Your will. I want that house, but what do we want? Your will. God, I want that church. What do we want? Your will. That doesn't even mean you won't have the church we're going to have. How do you want it? How you supposed to have it and when you supposed to have it? I want this beautiful car, God, but nevertheless, what? Your will. I want this person to be my wife or my husband, but what? Your will. I want kids now, but God, what? Your will. This is what the Spirit does when it helps us. Making intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So when you're at your best, when your spirit man is dominating, you pray according to God's will. I don't want to keep on working on my job, let alone be put through what I'm being put through. Nevertheless, thy will be done. And did you know your Savior knows what it's like? In that garden, did he say, oh, I got this, no problem. Bring it on, yeah, bring it on, yeah, bring it on. No. He knows exactly what it's like to be a spiritual being living a natural experience. But what happened when the spirit part took over? Nevertheless, he was hungry after 40 days and 40 nights. He was a spiritual being living a very, he was actually hungry, but he didn't get hangry. He said, you know what? I'm not turning that rock into bread for me. That's not why I'm here. I am not here for me. I'm not going to throw myself down just because angels could deliver me and test God. I'm not going to set that kind of example, because there's the thing. What you're trying to get me to do is focus on me. You're trying to make it about me. And if I make it about me, I'm not going to overcome in the garden. If I make it about me, I'm not going to overcome when my friends are sleeping on me when I'm about to go through my greatest test. I'm not going to be able to stay up there on the cross, something I never deserved, if you let me make it about me. It's not about me. It wasn't about Jesus, and in your life, it's not about you. What did he create you for? Who did he create you to help? Who did he create you with all your gifts to bless? When you go about that, you will be blessed, but only because you are a blessing.
Amen.
So your job is to handle your business, and then he'll handle his. But are we handling ours? If we are, we're living an overcoming life. Oh, we got it made in the shade. While we're living a natural experience. How about that? How about being victorious while you're living this natural experience? Otherwise, if you don't think like that, you're going to always be knocked off your game. And you're going to have to wait for the by and by to finally have it good. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Jesus knows what it's like. So now that we know all of this, we belong to God. We know we have the help of the Holy Spirit. And we know that ultimately our prayers and our lives should be focused on the will of God. Now we can embrace what Pastor Trina was trying to tell us this morning. Now we can go to verse 28. Now I think your mind is ready. Now I think your heart is set on the things that you need to really embrace so that you can really get into this verse. Read it for me.
And we know that all things are together for good.
Yes.
To them that love God.
Yes.
To them who are called according to his purpose.
Do you love God?
Amen.
Are you called according to his purpose? Yes. If you can, if you were to keep reading, you would see that you were literally predestined. So after all of this, now we can embrace the fact that you know that how many things?
All things.
All those things. What do they have to do?
Work together
for whose good? For my good. Right? Because I am the called according to whose purpose? Not my purpose. His purpose. Here's what I want you to know. I just want you to know that all the stuff that's on the negative part side of your ledger and on stuff that's on the good side of your ledger, this covers everything. There is not one thing in your natural life that is not covered in all things. I want you to pay attention now. I want you to get a picture in your mind of the stuff that you don't like, the stuff that's uncomfortable, the stuff that seems discouraging, the stuff that makes you angry, the stuff that makes you upset, the stuff that makes you not happy, the stuff that seems to be hindering you. All of those things. All of them. Get them in your mind. All of those things. All of those things are working together for your good. Now I want you to, when you look at those things, you say, hey, things, I have a new perspective on you now. Yeah, I have a new perspective because, you know, here's the thing. You might not be comfortable right now. It might be hard for me to smile right now, but here's what the thing I know. You're a slave to God's will. I actually know while you don't look good right now, you actually are part of the plan because you have to be. You have to be because it says how many things?
All things.
Not some things, not half of the things, not three quarters of the things, not 99/100 of the things. All things. Now think about that thing you've been complaining about. Think about that thing you're cursing. Think about that thing you're frustrated with. Think about that thing that happened to you that you don't feel like you deserve and wasn't fair. All those things have to work together along with other things for your good. Now look backwards on the stuff where you have gotten over. I want you to, the good thing is there ain't nobody in here that doesn't have an example. Pastor Trina said you look back and wonder how you got over. I just want you to focus for now that you got over. That thing used to be one of your negative ledger things. And it was part of working together. Once it was done doing what it was supposed to do for you, helping you to get to where you need to be, now it's in the past. But you have those things in your past that you should be able to draw strength from. All things in your life. How many things? Literally all things. So there's not one thing in our present or in our future that we have any reason to look at and be all, oh, man. All things. You'd be like, hey, thing, what you got for me? Oh, you're going to shave off a little of my pride. Got it. Oh, thing. Oh, yeah, I do need some patience. You're gonna make me more grateful because, I'm going to realize what I could have had. Now that when I get it, I'm going to be happier and more grateful next time. All things. I didn't get that promotion because he had a bigger one waiting. Woo! All things. But you get caught up and wrapped up in the natural experience. All things going on, and then all. Can you say all?
All.
All. All. Somebody in here has some serious financial difficulty. A mountain you couldn't even imagine climbing. Doesn't matter how smart you are. Don't matter. Nothing. That mountain seemed insurmountable, impossible. It was unfair. There's guilt and frustration. And guess what? All things. Did you not come out better, stronger, with more to offer? All things work together. All of it. Hey, thing. How you doing? I know you're trying to make me upset. I know you're trying to frustrate me. I know you're trying to discourage me. But guess what? I have a whole new perspective on you. You are a slave to God's will. All things. Hey, big thing. Hey, small thing. How you doing? How you doing? What did my father send you for to do for me? Because you're a slave. You're a servant. And I know you're working together with some other things so that God can help me to get to that thing according to his will. Hey, thing, how you doing? How you doing? Now, remember, you live in a natural experience, so you're going to feel some things every now and then. You go, ooh, you're going to get that twinge. Oh, man, catch yourself before you wreck yourself and steal your own joy that you could be having, that you should be. Hey, thing, ouch. Hey, thing, how you doing? What you here for? What you here to do? I know that you had to get an admission ticket. God had to put you here. He had to allow you to be here. But guess what? You are working together. And I can look back at all of my working togethers and say, oh, I get it. I have some experience at this. I'm not new at this thing. I'm not new. We act brand new. You're not new at this. You got lots of experience at all things working together for your good. Things you lost, people that aren't in your life anymore. It was hard going through the process, but when you finally get detached and you can move on, guess what? You realize, woo, I'm better. All things work together. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
For our good. So I want you to do this. I'm going to use a pugilistic reference. That's the fight game. I want you to think about Floyd Mayweather, not his lifestyle. Okay, not his lifestyle. I want you to think about his career. Floyd Mayweather never had a punch come at him that he didn't expect. I want you to expect stuff to be coming at you. But that doesn't mean that you can't use wisdom to make yourself a smaller target like Floyd does. Your circumstances, your things in your life that could discourage you, they need to leave frustrated and not you. The fighters that want Floyd to be somebody that he's not, change his style. No, he's undefeated because he's 100% him. So the other fighters end up frustrated. And he took that kind of fighting style and made hundreds of millions of dollars. Not a brawler, not a lot of blood going all over. He was 100% him. Look, I'm not asking you to follow his lifestyle, but I'm asking you to follow a version of that in your spiritual and natural life. Because stuff is going to happen. Blows are going to come at you. But are you ready for them? Did you prepare for a fight? Did you prepare for a dance? What are you preparing for? What we need to do to make a difference, you need patience, and which means you're going to have to go through some stuff to get some patience. You want to be buff? Are you just going to blink your eyes and be buff? You actually have to lift the weights over and over. And if you don't lift enough to where it hurts, you're just going to be what you were, a more cut version. But you're going to have to lift weights that you couldn't lift before. There's no difference in our spiritual walk in this natural experience. Stuff is going to happen, and you should be glad because it's on assignment from God. And he never lets you get so far down that you have no hope. He doesn't. Now, you could choose not to have hope, but he will, when you think you got your last breath, when you think you're down to your last dime, you think you're down to, you're down to a penny, he's not going to let you go bankrupt. Spiritually or emotionally. Now you can take yourself there because you turned down what he's offering. Hallelujah. So expect stuff to happen. Expect it to happen. But I want you to put on a certain kind of armor. I want you to use wisdom to make yourself a small target. See, now I want you to help it. I don't want you to stand there like this with your hands down. This is what we do sometimes in our bad decisions. We just putting our face out there, our hands are down. Oh, because you tough, like, oh, you got it like that. Let me just tell you, the devil's jab is better than the ones you think you're dealing with. You stick it out there. Okay? Wisdom will make you a smaller target. Don't go down that silly woman street. Don't even go to the corner. Don't go there. Don't start getting flattered by them compliments by the wrong person. Come on now. Don't start making yourself vulnerable to somebody you ain't supposed to. I want you to be armed with gratitude. Can I just tell you that gratitude will turn back every foe? I am grateful for what I have, so my cup is always running over. Lack of gratitude is one of the biggest things that will defeat us. It'll turn a good, optimistic situation into a pessimistic situation. You can have it made. You can be turned into an ER overnight. Obedience, it's a beautiful thing. It ain't easy, though. It's not easy. But guess what? If God gives you a hard thing, that means he trusts you like that. If I only gave you simple things that a two-year-old could do, would that be meaningful to you? But if I gave you something that you know I really need, all of a sudden now you know you matter. So when God gives you the hard stuff to do, know you matter. Amen?
Amen.
I'm almost done. I want you to be thinking about having a proper perspective. That's also a great piece of armor. Proper perspective. I do a little investing. If I lose a certain amount of money, well, I could fret over that money, or I could be grateful that it's not all the money I have. Perspective. If you don't have perspective, you'll focus in only on your losses, financially or otherwise. You need to step back and have a larger perspective, and then you can suddenly see, oh, my God, the positive ledger is way better than the negative ledger. But we spend our time and our energy and our conversations on the negative. It's not helpful, amen?
Amen.
I want you to focus on purpose. If you focus on purpose, you'll never give up. If you don't focus on purpose, you know what you'll have left? How it feels, what it looks like, how long it's taking, how it's not fair, who's not in your corner. If you don't have purpose, these are all the things that will be in your face all the time if you do not have purpose. So have purpose. No, why am I here? Who am I here to bless? Why was I given these gifts? If you have purpose, you can fight off a lot of stuff. And acting out your purpose, now those are the swings, those are the blows, those are the kicks. Mm-hmm. If you're working out your purpose, you can walk through and work through any negative circumstances. Amen?
Amen.
And then remember, you have the Holy Spirit to help you. You are not alone. You're not perfect. You're a spiritual being living a natural experience, but you are never alone. And if you walk with these gifts, if you walk with these tools, then we can finish our natural careers undefeated. Amen.
Amen. So,